That'll make you get your shouting shoes out, won't it? My, glory to God. Heaven's going to be wonderful. Praise the Lord, because Jesus is there. Man, I'm going to get to see Him. I'm going to bow down and thank Him. That's going to take me 3/4 of eternity. Or maybe more. Amen. Then we're just going to shout and praise God forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let me tell you what ain't going to be in heaven. A weather forecast. Come on. Stock market news. Don't be there. No Metaquix or Doc in a Box. No pharmacies. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No wheelchairs, no crutches. No CAT scans. No MRIs. No more cancer. No more sickness. No more bad days. No more death. There'll be no caskets in heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No wonder. No wonder. We get happy when we begin to think about heaven. Glory to God. My. What a day that will be. Glory to God. I want you to turn to somebody real close to you, shake their hand, hug their neck, or do something. Just tell them you love them. Amen. We don't do that enough. I love you, folks. Amen. If you love God, you better love one another. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles this morning while you're loving one another, go with us to the book of St. Matthew. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the 8th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, verses 1 through 8 this morning, if you would. Amen. Let me just see a show of hands if God's been good to anybody this week. Anybody at all? Praise God. Well, you ought to be an easy group to preach to then. Amen. You're a bunch of blessed folks. Glory to God. In the 8th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, verse number 1, when He was come down from the mountain. Let's to dwell on that a little bit. Who's the He we talking about? Say it like you love Him. When He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him. Note, worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him. Everybody say, touched him. Saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful and grateful we are, God, to be in the presence of Your Holy Spirit this morning. Thank You for those who have gathered here today, God, and I pray, Lord, that the anointing power, God, will just rain down upon this congregation. Father, I pray and ask that You would open up that precious window of heaven. God, pour out Your Spirit upon us today. God, let us lay aside every weight, every obstacle, every hindrance, God, that so easily besets us. Let us lay those things aside, God, and lift up our hands to glorify and honor and praise You today. Father, I humbly ask that You would anoint these lips of clay. God, nothing more than a vessel, nothing more than an oracle, just flesh. But I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts today, God. Pray that we would be submissive and obedient to Your will and be so thankful, God, for what You have done and by faith what You are about to do. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Glory. Hallelujah. I come to you this morning with a very thankful heart. Amen. I just can't say it enough. I woke up saying, I thank You, Lord. When the sailors were praying the songs a while ago, I thank You, Lord. It was one of the first words that come out of my mouth when I stood in the pulpit this morning was, I thank You, Lord. You know, I've got so much to thank Him for. Time would not allow me to convey to you all the blessings and all the things that God has done for me. But that is wonderful in itself. But I just thank you that I'm a child of God. And I thank you, Lord, that you loved me enough to die on the cross of Calvary for me. We find Jesus just after he had a multitude of people along with his disciples and most devout followers attending a teaching seminar on a mountain. Yep, on a mountain. Many times today we require advance notice, padded pews, air conditioned, qualified and anointed teachers, and I believe qualified and anointed teachers, but who can be more qualified and anointed than Jesus Christ? Good surroundings, good company, hopefully they will be, in fact, serving refreshments in order to hear and glean the Word of God. Here, if you read history, was a group of, pardon the expression, ragtag common people, leaving their homes, leaving their businesses, leaving their daily routines to hear a man that they did not really understand who he was, where he came from, or what he was entirely all about, but something mesmerized them. Something, when they heard him speak, when they saw him, they were drawn to him, so they followed him up to this mountain and sit for hours on end with their hearts and their ears opened and in tune to every single word that came forth from Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Needless to say, he held their attention. And when this came to an end, Jesus began to walk down from the mountain. And those that were there, many of them, in fact, probably about all of them, began to follow him. Now imagine, it's not just a small crowd, but in fact, the writers of the four Gospels declare that it was a multitude of folks followed him, thronged him. And as he was coming down from the mountain, a leper, everybody say a leper. A leper came to him. Now, I want you to bear with me for just a little while this morning. I want to entitle this message in this form. What's he doing in the crowd? What's he doing in the midst of the multitude? My Bible tells me that lepers were not accepted. Lepers spent most of their time during that plague or that sickness or that affliction in solitude, away from their family, away from the community, and away from the multitude. Bible scripture tells me that on occasion when someone would approach where the lepers were, they were to shout out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And I'm wondering, just as an ordinary mortal man, how this leper came to be in the midst of the multitude that thronged Jesus. Now my imagination would let me to believe that maybe he came with a hood or a draped something over him to conceal his sickness, to conceal that leprosy. Because if it had shown outwardly, then I would believe that many of the multitude that was there would have shunned him, maybe shouted, "Get out of here. You have no business here. You can't be here because you are unclean." I don't know how he managed to get into the multitude, but he did. Something tells me that that desire within him to be made clean simply overrode every obstacle that he could constantly or possibly come before him in order to get to Jesus. You want to see somebody get in touch with God? Let them overcome every obstacle between them and Jesus, regardless of what people think, regardless of what people say, regardless of what walls there are to go through or climb over. I have to make it to Jesus. It doesn't matter who's around me. It doesn't matter what they think of me. I know that I cannot be clean until I get to Jesus. But I'm going to do everything within my ability to lay these things aside and get to Jesus. Because He alone can make me clean. Whatever the case, the Bible says, when He came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And I like this word, behold. It was like Matthew was surprised. He didn't just say it, oh, by the way. Or did I forget to tell you that during this particular account, there was a leper. He said, behold, something denotes to me that was out of the ordinary. That was not a commonplace thing. Maybe that was a surprise to some of the most devout followers of Christ. What is that leper doing in the multitude that is around Jesus? Does he not know that he may be contagious? Does he not know what the law said about lepers? Does he not know, amen, that he may infect others? Matthew said, behold, there came a leper. Hallelujah. This leper, and I don't know the history of this leper, but reading about the history of other lepers, it was a lonely, destitute, solitude way of living. You couldn't just jump in your car and go anywhere you wanted to. You couldn't walk the streets. People shunned you. People would not get near you. Because you had to tell them you're unclean. My Lord, thank God for grace. You know, when I was in sin, I didn't have to wear a sign that said, I'm a sinner. I didn't have to shout to every Christian, I'm unclean. Amen. But I was. Hello? I said, I was. I knew it. God knew it. Amen. But one day, I decided that I'm tired of being unclean. I'm tired of being rejected, dejected, and all those other things that associate with a sinful life. People call it the good life. No. If you think that's good, wait till you get a hold of the Holy Ghost in your life. Oh, you think you're having a good time now. Glory to God. But when I came to the knowledge of Christ, when I came and with a broken and contrite spirit, and He mashed, yes, He mashed me down. I was reading this week about potsherds. You've heard about potsherds, haven't you? And I pretty much knew what that was as a piece of a broken vessel that, you know, and many of the lepers would take those potsherds and scrape the innocent. It's gross. But you know what? I was reading over where, I think it was the prophet Isaiah. I may stand corrected, but God was prophesying through him, and he was talking as if the potsherd was talking back. How dare the potsherd talk back to the potter and ask the potter, why didn't you make me thus way? Why didn't you do me this way? And I said, that's intriguing. And I looked at the word potsherd and looked up several definitions. It is absolutely a worthless piece of broken pottery.
pottery. I came to an altar as a potsherd. I came to an altar as a worthless piece of clay. Glory to God. He went on to say, you didn't make me with handles. Oh, glory to God. But I got made anew when I came to the altar, because he melted that old worthless piece of pottery, and he made it, and he fashioned it new, and I became a new creation in God. And I'm here today to tell you, don't ever feel like God doesn't love you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me get back to the leper. That don't cost you a little bit extra money. Behold, I'm surprised. This is out of the ordinary. And the first thing that the leper does when he gets in the vicinity of Jesus. Now again, let me use my imagination. I would imagine that his conscience was telling him, you got no business here. Do you know if the people knew who you were, they wouldn't accept you? Not only would they probably not accept you, they'd show you the door. They'd tell you to get out of here. You're going to infect others. But after wrestling with his conscience, wrestling with the condition that the leprosy had brought upon him. Now, I know there are different stages of leprosy, but I read over and the Gospel of St. Luke, he said he was full of leprosy. Not just a little spot, not just an open flesh wound, but he was covered in leprosy, or full of leprosy. A condition which in the day of the law would have required that the priest look at him, put him on the outside of the camp until he was made clean. And we'll get into that a little later. But he fought against that. Not the only one, by the way, that we have seen perseverance that made their way through the crowd to get to Jesus. You remember the little woman with the issue of blood? We preach that sometimes, but sometimes we forget about the struggle that she had to go through to get to Jesus. Sometimes we preach it and read it like she just walked right up to Jesus, touched the hem of his garment. This lady was anemic. This lady was at the point of death. And she didn't have an ambulance to bring her to Jesus. Come on, she took every ounce of strength that she had, every bit of perseverance that she had, and determination, and she got to Jesus, and he was surrounded, and she pushed, and she's crowded her way to find Jesus. Now, this leper was in a similar situation, because he had to maneuver and get through the crowd to get to Jesus. Sometimes we come into the service, we can't get through the crowd. Oh, I'm not saying they're blocking the altar. We just can't get through the looking around, and seeing who's here and who ain't, and what who's wearing, what who ain't. Well, hopefully, we ain't got no ain'ts that ain't wearing, but what they are wearing. And we can't get through the crowd. And then we wonder why the service didn't go too good. Because your mind was more on the crowd than it was on Jesus. Come on. Come on. But he's pushing, and he's struggling, and he's trying in all of his energy to get to Jesus. And he's thinking, I know he can, because that's what he said. Because he said, whether or not you will, I know you can. Come on, some folks. How many of you ever prayed like that? All you want to pray, Lord, I know you can, I know you can, I know you can. But will you?
Come on, when you say, will you, then you're saying, is it your will? Lord, I want this, but is it your will? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. And when he finally pushes through, and he finally gets to within just a few feet of Jesus, he doesn't go up and tap Jesus on the shoulder. He doesn't pull out a list of, here's the things I need. The Bible said he worshiped him. Other places said he fell on his face, prostrate on the ground, and he worshiped Jesus. Glory to God. That ought to tell us something about our prayer life. Rather than giving God a grocery list or a list of things that we need, why don't we fall flat on our face and just worship him? Just praise him. Just love him. God will give us our desires if they are associated with his will. Glory to God. You want to get somewhere? Praise the Lord. Praise the hurt away, Sister Jennifer. Oh, when you're hurting so bad, rather than saying, Lord, you got to do it, just praise him. Oh, I love you. Oh, I exalt you. I lift you up, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And after he had worshiped Jesus, he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. In other words, if you will, Lord, you can do it. Now, the Bible tells me many instances, especially under the law, that even when the lepers or those that were suspected of having leprosy were to go to the priest, and everywhere I looked, and everywhere that I saw, they showed themselves to the priest. I may stand corrected, but I never saw the place where the priest touched them. Mayhap, but I don't recall reading it. Could it have been that the priest did not want to get what the leper had? Possibly. Maybe it was God's ordained will as he set into place the law and the different things that the priests were to do. But the priest would simply look and declare and send him on his way. If in fact he was infected, 7 days in solitude, he would shut him up. Then after 7 days, he would come back to show himself against the priest. If he had not gotten better or in fact gotten worse, he was sent away 7 days again. Can I ask you, when's the last time you maneuvered and pushed and shoved your way through every obstacle and you fell down prostrate on your face and began to glorify Jesus? And Jesus said, just looked at your situation and said, come back in 7 days. Can I tell you, we as Christians are upset if he don't do it in 7 minutes, let alone 7 days. But can I tell you, I've never found Jesus to be that unattentive to my needs. Can I tell you, Jesus loves me more than I could ever describe to you, more than I could ever convey to you the love of God, amen, that he has shed upon us, his creation made in his likeness. Glory to God. Whether you realize it or not, that's not your breath you're breathing. You're breathing the breath of God. He said, I have breathed my breath into man, and he became a living soul. And God will bless us, and God will heal us, amen. But God wants us to follow in the path, amen, of these that worshiped him. Amen. Worship before petition. Worship before you ask. Worship regardless of whether he answers your prayer or not. Because the leper said, I know you can, just I'm not sure if you will. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I know he's able, but even if he don't. Oh, you want to get on God's good side. Lord, I know you can, but even if you don't, you know what? I'm going to still worship you. I'm going to still live for you. I'm still going to praise you regardless of the circumstance, situation, whatever. Amen. Now, as he is laying prostrate face down, worshiping Jesus, the Bible doesn't say it, and I hope for the benefit of this poor, lost, destitute soul, that as he is praying and trying to get somewhere with Jesus, I hope the rest of the multitude are not whispering, "What's he doing here? He doesn't belong here. Who does he think he is, coming in here like that? All dirty and all diseased and all afflicted." I hope that the multitude was saying, "Lord, but by the grace of God, that could be me. In fact, I was before I came to you. Amen. I was a worthless potsherd. I was a worthless piece of broken vessel." You ever seen a bunch of broken vessels? A piece that's just shattered. You ever tried to put it back together? Years and years ago, before I got sanctified, my brother and myself, we were old enough to be left at home for mom and dad to go out and eat. But we wasn't old enough to be totally and absolutely responsible either. Our age was, but sometimes the mentality is not where it needs to be. We had a tennis ball. We were sitting there and had a fireplace with, it had gas logs in it. And the fireplace was in the corner of the house. I was sitting on the couch. He was sitting over here in a chair. Had that tennis ball, and of course at that time, I think what the tennis ball was, it was a way to strengthen my arms and all. I don't know why in the world I'd have had a tennis ball in the living room, but that's what I had. And all of a sudden I said, "Hey, Dennis!" Pow! Throw that thing off the fireplace, it hit the brick and went right to him. "Yeah, that's cool. Chuck it back, bro." He done that. We done it several times. But then we got, and Mother had a clock. You remember those wooden clocks with the gold numbers on it? Sitting right in the middle. Clock made it okay. But she had two of those ceramic candle holders on either side of the clock. This is where stupidity overtakes common sense. We tried to see how close we could get to the clock and the candle holders. Did I ask you a while ago about the many pieces of a broken vessel? You ever seen something transpire in slow motion and it wasn't in slow motion? I threw that tennis ball, and honestly, I think that thing slowed down to a crawl, and my eyes went that big, it hit that candle holder. Pow! Knocked it down on the hearth. Broke into I don't know how many pieces. I knew that I had threw it, and I said, "Dennis, you are in trouble now, buddy." Dennis said, "No, I didn't throw it." I said, "Go get the glue. Go get the glue." For the balance of the time that Mom and Dad was going to eat, Dennis and I, he didn't want to, but I was older, I was bigger, I made him. We glued every piece that we could find back together, and blowing on it to make so the glue would dry quick, and we hung that thing back up. And I can't tell you how difficult and hard and how painstakingly tedious that was to look and find every little piece to put it back together. But you know, we did it enough so that unless you were right on it, you couldn't tell it. So since that it done that good a job, I didn't see any reason for telling Mother about it. Just leave it alone. If she finds out, okay. If she don't, thank God. And really it went on for several months, if not years. And I think I finally, when they was moving and putting something out, she said, "That looks like that's been broke." Imagine that, Mother. And I had matured a little bit, and I went ahead and worshipped her. Told her, "Mother, you look great. That dress you're wearing, man, that just brings out the eyes and the ears." And I just pampered her every way I could, and I said, "Yeah. Me and Dennis were playing ball, and man, you wouldn't believe it, Mother. That thing just accidentally hit that thing and broke it." And she looked at it and she said, "Well, you've done a pretty good job putting it back together." But she could still tell if she looked it close enough. But can I tell you that the night at Rockmore, Georgia, when there was an awful mess kneeling at the altar, not just one little broken potsherd, but just looked like gazillions of my life, Jesus took me and He rebuilt me and He made me over and He made me new. Amen. Glory to God. I don't even look like I used to. I don't even act like I used to. Thank God what He can do to a broken vessel. And here lies at the feet of Jesus a broken vessel. His life is a shambles. He has no direction. He has no family that can be close to Him. He has to be separated from them. Imagine the sleepless nights that he goes through because of this evil, dreadful disease and affliction of leprosy. And can I tell you that sin is a type and shadow of leprosy? Not so much a physical condition as it is a lack of a spiritual condition. And Jesus does something. I want you to listen very closely to what I'm about to say, because it is such a type and shadow and a parallel to what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Because Jesus does something next that the priests of old could not do. He did something for the leper that the law itself could not do. The law, if you read in it, it had exactly what they were supposed to do. And even after they were outside of the camp, if they were still unclean, they had to remain until that thing cleared up or they got better or they was declared by the priest to be clean again. And that wasn't all of it. They had to go get two birds. They had to kill one of them and take the other bird and dip it in the blood with cedar and hyssop, and then had to let the free bird go flying because it was dipped in the blood. Let me tell you something. All of this doesn't just happen to be. God has a plan, and it has always involved blood. How dare the modern church world say that the blood doesn't matter when nothing else matters but the blood? All of this other would not have taken place except for the blood. And then that was not over. He had to wait so long and then go and remain and then come back and involve two lambs. Imagine the time span, even after he was declared clean. Can I take you back a little bit when you received the Spirit of the Lord into your life? And the pastor said, "Well, that's one part, but you got to go out and do this, and you got to go do that, and you got to go all do that." Jesus touched the leper. Now I read that as he physically, I know he spiritually touched him. I mean, that's what I'm talking about when Jesus spiritually touches you. It could be 98 degrees with a humidity of 105 and you feel a chill all over you when Jesus touches you. But I read here that he physically touched that leper.
You don't do that. Priests didn't do it. Even the priest in Jesus' time didn't do that. But Jesus reached out. Amen. He was not worried about catching anything. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that you came to Jesus in such a sinful condition, but He was not afraid to touch you? He was not fearful and backed off for what you'd done in your life. You may have committed all kinds of atrocities, but He touched you. And the Bible says, immediately His leprosy was cleansed. That night Jesus touched me. Immediately I was made whole. Glory to God. Immediately I was made whole because He loves me. Hallelujah. What's He doing in the crowd? He's realized that he can't make it without Jesus. How dare a church member let those thoughts run through their mind? What's he doing here? How dare a pastor or minister say, oh my gosh, what's he doing here? Would you look at him? Would you look at her? Jesus touched him. I think sometimes we forget what Jesus did for us. We forget about the compassion He had on us and the overwhelming love and forgiveness He had in His heart for us. And if we love Jesus, how can we say that if we don't love one another, whom we have seen, whom we do fellowship with, who we do see come in and know that they need Jesus? Hallelujah. What is he doing in the crowd? He's supposed to get a life-changing experience. He's not worried about the crowd. He's not worried about anything except getting to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll take Jesus. Let the world go by. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If God sends them, we must receive them. Amen. Who are we to declare clean and unclean? Come on. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. That's what I need. Jesus. Jesus. That's what I'm going to get. Hallelujah. If it takes every ounce of energy that I got, if it takes pain and humiliation, solitude, whatever it is, I got to get to Jesus. I must get to Jesus. Because only Jesus can satisfy my soul. Only Jesus can make me whole. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Not just a little. But Luke said, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. I read from this. I perceive in my spirit that Jesus can cleanse you from whatever dirt is in your life. Others might declare it that you'll never be worth anything, that you'll never be a Christian. You know, I've had people tell me, Pastor, I just can't live a Christian life. I said, well, you can with Jesus in you. I can't either without Jesus. No way. But I will assure you that the cleansing, saving, forgiving, and filling power of Jesus Christ
can forgive you and cleanse you from whatever's wrong in your life. Would you stand? Would the music please come? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, I know I say this, but I mean this. Every saint of God praying. Because we don't know who's in the crowd. Come on. Things are in people's lives that you and I can't see. That little leper, he walked up and I believe he was covered and people couldn't see what was eating at him, what was going on inside his life. But I believe Jesus knew it. And Jesus touched him. I love that. Jesus touched him. You want to be touched today? You want to have your life changed today? Come on. You want to be cleansed from that guilt of sin and iniquities and all of those things that associate with an unsaved life? Oh, you want to step into the fullness of God? Play whenever you're ready. Please, saints of God, pray. If you're here today and you feel lonely and destitute, you feel like you're living your life in solitude, although you're surrounded by the multitudes and you see peace and joy on their face, and you can't see it. You can't live it. You're just existing. You're not really living. Come on, you, some of you saints of God, some of you elders, come and pray. I believe there's others in the congregation. While they're coming, why don't you come forward? You won't be the only one at this altar. The altar's already having folks come. Why don't you just come on down and say, Lord, if you can, I know you can. I know you can if you just will. Will you save me? Will you forgive me? Will you fill me with your power? Will you fill me with your love?